Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. In today's episode, we interview Christine O'Connell, the Executive Director of Briley's Way Foundation. Their mission is to empower young leaders and use kindness and empathy to create meaningful connections and positive change.
Christine shares with us the background of Briley's Way and details the amazing programs that they offer. We discuss their initiative to help kids in public and private schools connect in a meaningful way. We learn about their upcoming event, Call for Kindness, and how they've been able to continue to make an impact even through the pandemic. So without further delay, this is our interview with Dr. Christine O'Connell, Executive Director of Briley's Way Foundation.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. Can you share with our listeners, what is Briley's Way Foundation and what needs do you serve?
Sure, and thank you for having me. Briley's Way Foundation is a national nonprofit organization, and we are building a youth-led movement where kind leaders build a better world. We work with teens around the country, and our local and national programs empower young people to use kindness, empathy, and connection making to drive that change. And one of the important things we do as a foundation is we provide these teen change makers with the tools, the resources, the funding, as well as the community they need to envision change and achieve it. And it's an amazing thing to be part of.
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea. I love the whole concept. What was the inspiration behind starting the foundation?
Briley's Way, the inspiration for Briley's Way really grew out of the spirit of a magical little nine-year-old girl named Riley Hannah Sandler. And it grew out of tragedy. Riley passed away at sleepaway camp when she was nine. And her parents wanted to do something that was about remembering who she was as a person. And anybody who knew Riley knew she was a special kid. She just approached everyone as a friend, liked to connect people from all parts of her life, and just always had a smile on her face. And they wanted to do something that was about celebrating that in her and in other kids around the country. And when Briley's Way first started, we were focusing on younger kids, kids around Riley's age. And then we realized after a few years, really where we wanted to focus was on teens, because we saw teens around the country just stepping up and making a difference and having a voice and changing things. And we thought, what can we do to support that? So we shifted our focus to really focus on empowering kindness and empathy as important leadership qualities in teens as we tackle these deep-seated social justice issues, as we tackle environmental issues, as we tackle public health issues. How do we make kindness, empathy, and connection making a real part of that? And that's been one of the things we've really focused on in how we approach leadership.
That's amazing. And I know browsing through your guys' site, you guys do some amazing events. My favorite one is called Call for Kindness. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. The Call for Kindness is one of our big national programs, and we work with teens around the country. It's an open call. The open call this year is going to be coming out in January of 2022. So anyone can apply, teens 14 to 18, if you have an idea. If you have an idea to bring kindness and connection making to your school, to your community, to the world. Projects range in scope. We've had projects that have won before that were in a project in Oregon, for example, that was started to help no kid eats alone at lunch, and started this amazing group of bringing people together and starting a community in their school, to worldwide projects that are tackling mental health, and big national projects that are about bringing teens from red states and blue states together to talk about really important policy issues, but really learn about each other and their stories and try and bridge the divide in this country. So the range of projects is huge. The range in issues they're tackling are huge. And our job is to bring these teams together around the country. We've had this year, the fellowship cohort is from 26 different states. And it could be a one person or a group project. So everybody gets to participate and they get $3,000 to fund their project, but they also get to be part of this leadership development fellowship for the year, which we have found has been one of the most important parts because it brings young change makers together from all over. They can talk to each other, they can network, we do skill building, we bring in experts to talk about different topics that they're interested in, that they wanna learn about. But they really get a chance to learn from each other and meet other change makers who care about the same things they do. And what we find is that's the most important part, is the community that they build and they take away from it.
I was going to say the grand prize winner wins $3,000, or it's a few of those that are given away.
Everybody. So all of the fellows, when we first started the fellowship, the Call for Kindness fellows, we gave away 15 awards. Last year, we gave away 30 awards. So $33,000 prizes. And what we also did is we don't want to, it's a year-long fellowship that they're part of the program. But the fellows from the year before get to come back and mentor the fellows from this year. They also, the fellows from the years before, get to apply for continuation grants because we want to help them continue to grow. So after that year is up, they can apply for more funds to keep their project growing or to grow a different aspect of their project. And what's really cool about it is Riley's Way really believes in youth-led. We try and incorporate that into everything we do, from spots on our board, where we have teens on our board, to a whole youth advisory board that that is involved in hiring decisions and organizational decisions for how we operate, to the teens themselves picking the next winners. So 75% of our judges for the Call for Kindness are all teens, as well as the entire class from the year before gets to participate in picking next year's class. So the idea is you get something out of it, but you also give back and help support and mentor that next generation coming up behind you.
Just the concept and the community that you're building. And I'm curious, is there, within the schools, is there kind of a trickle down effect where maybe kids see other kids leading and then they wanna they're inspired to do something like that?
Absolutely. I've seen that with so many of our fellows and so many of these projects. To date, we have over 100 fellows that we've worked with around the country in the Call for Kindness. And so many of them just started with an idea. One kid who had an idea, or a pair of friends or sisters. We have two sisters in New York City that had an idea. They were dancers and they went to their dance class, and they had these recitals each year and saw these costumes being used once and being tossed away. So what they did is started a drive to collect all of these older dance shoes and costumes and ship them around to parts of the country, parts of the world that didn't have access to that stuff. And they've grown into a national organization just from two sisters seeing this issue they cared about. There's one student we've worked with who started this organization called the Literacy Initiative. And it started out of a ninth grade project of his, where he did a report on literacy inequities and education inequities in this country. And then out of that, he inspired his classroom and friends to get involved, and they started this whole tutoring program and book donation program for school districts that didn't have the funding for these kind of programs. And it's grown into an organization of thousands of teen volunteers around the country. Thousands. They gave away 35,000 books last year alone in the pandemic. And they did everything virtually last year in the pandemic. So it's amazing how a teen with one idea can spark an entire movement in their school, in their community, around the world.
I love hearing stories like this. You know, there's a lot of negativity in the world, and we don't hear about all these amazing things. So thank you for sharing that. I know that y'all have an initiative where you're helping kids in public schools and private schools and trying to bridge the gap there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. That's our local program based in New York City, but we're looking at how we can grow that to a national program. But right now it's local in New York City, where we pair students from public schools and private schools. And right now it's for teens who identify as girls, because we're working with all girls schools with a few different private schools in New York City, and the Young Women's Leadership Network, which is a group of schools in New York City that is all about empowering young women. And what we do is we pair these two schools together and they work together. Students apply to become part of the program and they work together their entire high school career. And they start out with a simple question of what breaks your heart in your community. And they together come up with, they talk about the things that really bother them that they're seeing in their communities, the things that break their heart. And they come up with a project that they want to work on together, all of them, and make a difference in their community. And it's the projects they pick are not, you know, they're not little things. You know, one of them is tackling food insecurity, especially during the pandemic. One of them was tackling women impacted by incarceration, and partnered with a group called Circles of Support. And the idea is they go out there and they find a community group already working on this and they work with them to craft a project. Another group was working on immigration issues and organized letter writing campaigns to a detention center in Florida where teens were being held years ago that had crossed the border. One of the groups this year is working on an issue that really matters to them, of women and girls who have been brought into human trafficking. So they're not tackling light issues at all, and really working with community groups to make a difference. And what's amazing about it is we're bringing together young women from public schools and private schools, really bridging the gap and making connections, breaking down barriers, addressing issues of privilege, addressing issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion from the beginning to really make a difference on a social justice issue that matters. And what we've seen is amazing. You know, these young women stay in the program their entire 4 years of high school, and we see them grow into these amazing, kind young leaders, many of them becoming valedictorians of their high school after 4 years, and just really making a difference and being leaders for the young women coming up through the program as well. So it's been really inspiring to watch.
Do you guys have, you know, any type of alumni programs where, you know, even as they get older, they can still be a part of it?
Sure. It's actually one of the things we're working on building now is an alumni program for all of our different programs. What's amazing about it is for the council program, we have council members who are graduating out that want to still be part of things. Obviously, they're busy, they're in college, their time is not the same. They don't have the same time that can put into it, but we still bring them together. We still invite them together for skill building workshops or things like that. But some of them actually want to come back and mentor some of the younger students coming up through the program, which is amazing. So we're organizing a series of workshops this fall about applying to college even, and what is it like when you get to college, how do you lead one of these councils, and what are the issues you might face as a young leader wanting to do this kind of work. So it's been really inspiring to see that happening and seeing people really pay it forward and want to stay involved. And then we're thinking about for the Call for Kindness program as well, like building that alumni network. So once you graduate out, you go to college, you get a career, you still have a network and a community of young changemakers or older changemakers now that you can go to and say, hey, I want to start this organization, or I have this job interview. Can you help me with this? Or I'm struggling with this problem. Has anybody faced this before? And again, it's one of the things we found is the most important from our network is the problem solving they do with each other and how they help each other. And we just want to continue that throughout their careers.
That's funny, because that's how Connect Kindness started. Like, I was at post-college working for Tim, and I was like, I need to do more. Like, I'm bigger than this. Like, I want to help people, you know, crying in his office. And it's the truth, you know, like if you have it in you from the beginning, it lingers for the rest of your life type of thing. So I think that alumni program will be great for those young leaders.
And we all need that community to come back to in those moments in our life. I know I've had that with different programs I've been a part of. And, you know, you might not need them for a year or two, but then you're struggling with this one problem. It could be a you know, personal, like, where do I go next? Or how do I develop this idea to, I have this strategic plan I need to get done. Does anybody have any great examples of that? So just having a network you can go to for that kind of thing is so empowering throughout life, because I still use mine.
Riley's Way has already had such a huge impact. What do you think could take your organization to the next level so you can have even more impact?
I think this is probably the same answer for most nonprofits, but funding. Funding and getting the word out, right? So those are the easy answers, but I think the real answer for me is to have us have even more of an impact is to really have more teams out there know about us, know what we're doing. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to do good in the world, that have an idea and think, have an idea to make a change in their community for the better, but don't know what to do with it. And it just stays an idea. So if we can help more teams, more people take that idea and make it a reality and give them the tools and resources and support to be able to do that, then I think we're unstoppable.
Is there a limit to how many organizations that you can help, or how many kids? Have y'all run the numbers on that?
Sure. I mean, we have grand plans to grow in the next 5 years, but right now, one of the things we really care about, especially for a program like the Call for Kindness or the councils, is being able to give people. We want to make a real impact. And it's not just about numbers, it's actually about making a difference. So we want to make sure we have the staff and resources and community there to support people we work with. But one of the things we're looking at is we have these programs. How do we grow them in a way that's responsible, that keeps providing that quality and not just quantity of support, but also really continue to build that youth-led movement where we have resources and skill building workshops and grant funds and things like that available to people who might not be part of one of our three programs right now, that really just want to learn more and find that community. How do we foster that community of teens and for anyone to be part of? So we're looking at how do we help support that youth-led movement now? Because it's happening. It's happening all around us. You see it in the news all the time. If you look, there's teens working on climate change issues and doing an amazing, amazing job of pushing that issue forward. There's, you know, teens working on food insecurity issues and working with those who are experiencing homelessness and really pushing these issues forward. So how do we create that network where they can all be there to support each other?
You guys are creating future presidents, future Nobel Peace Prize winners. You guys are creating some amazing human beings. And I can only imagine the stories that you have. But being surrounded by all this amazing energy, if you had to give like one piece of advice to anyone listening right now, what would it be? It could be about the nonprofit. It could be about just life in general, whatever you've experienced. This is your shining moment right now. What would it be?
I was thinking about this. I think the one piece of advice I would give, whether it be life or work, and this is what drives me to, is do what brings you joy and also makes a difference in the world for the better. That is something, you know, I've had many different careers in my career, from working as an environmental advocate and community organizer to going and getting a PhD in science policy to helping build the Allen Alda Center for Communicating Science, which was all about building, helping scientists be better communicators and really talk with empathy and learn to be empathetic. To this, which is about empowering the next generation of kind leaders. But it all has the same thread throughout, which is about amplifying the voice of others, as well as really building listening and communication into kindness and empathy into how we treat each other. And for me, that has been my purpose and my thread throughout what I do and the choices I make. And it drives me because it's not easy work, especially this past year in the pandemic. It's not easy running a nonprofit, being in nonprofit work, doing this work. You're constantly struggling for funding. You're struggling to get the word out. A lot of times news likes to focus on negative stuff versus these positive stories we see out there. But what drives you is the impact, is the teams. I look at the teams we work with and they inspire me daily. They've inspired me daily throughout this past year when I've had low moments, even personally, because I know there are good stories out there. There's good people out there that are really making a difference in the world. So find that for yourself. Find that thing that drives you. And find that thing that's going to make a difference in the world for the better. And you'll always, that goal will always be bigger than whatever problem you're facing and will drive you.
That is great, great advice. For our listeners who want to get involved with Riley's Way Foundation, how can they get in touch with you and your organization?
Sure. Well, you can check out our website. It's www.rileysway.org. I would really suggest signing up for our newsletter. Our newsletter is always filled with good stories. We really try and highlight the teams that we work with and their voice. You'll be inspired, as well as get ideas for things that you want to do. And then if you have an idea to make the world a better place, apply for the Call for Kindness. Our next round of applications are coming out in mid-January. It's a national contest. You can have an idea. The winning prizes range from just an idea that somebody wants to make happen to some people have established nonprofits that they want to take to the next level. So it's really a range. Put that idea down on paper. You can make a video and apply, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear your ideas and we're there to help make it happen. So just help us get the word out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christine, for just sharing all the amazing stories about these young leaders. And also a special shout out to everyone, all the young leaders that have been part of your organization and doing amazing work today, in the past, and also in the near future. So you guys are amazing kids and keep it all up. And Christine, we're lifelong friends. We appreciate you on the Connect Kindness side. And if you guys ever need us for anything, spreading the word or whatever it may be, we're here for you guys.
Thanks. I will take you up on that in January when we announce the contest. But thank you. This has been wonderful. What you do is wonderful. And I've really enjoyed these conversations. Are great. And they remind me to be inspired daily by what we do. So I really appreciate the opportunity personally as well.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.